Welcome to the Lost Geek Podcast, episode 32, Podcasting in the Dark. Today is Tuesday evening, April 8th, 2014, and I'm podcasting from my home in Jakarta, Indonesia. This is Arlin, your host. Come and get lost in my geeky fiber adventures with a dash of Indonesian flavor. So, as the title suggests, I am podcasting in the dark because we just lost the electricity. So, since the computer is still working, and thankfully I have my show notes in Evernote, I can still access everything, but my opening greeting and my closing greeting might be off than usual. And so, today's segments will include Off the Needles, On the Needles, Theme, Get Your Geek On, Recalculating Route, and Tadaima. So, without further ado, let's get lost! Off the Needles. I have two projects on the Off the Needles this week, as promised from my last episode. First is the Hills in Jammu hat, which I made in time, finished in time to bring to Japan for my dad to wear there. And this is the first time I tried blocking a hat with its ribbed hem tied by a hairband. And I got this tip from a YouTube video by Knits by the Sea, and I found it when searching for blocking hand knit hats. Because in my experience, I haven't found a good method for blocking ribbing that would not make it stretch. So it still didn't quite work and the ribbing kind of stretches. But it's still okay because I made the medium size and it fits my head a bit on the large side. But my dad's head size is larger than mine, so I hope that it would fit him well. And for the project notes, I didn't use DPNs when I have to do the crown decreases because I didn't have to the proper size for the of the needles. I was using size US 8 or 5 millimeter needles. So I used my circular Chinese needles, the fake Adi Turbo ones, and after binding off the project, I finally got around to writing down the sizes of the needles on the packaging, because the size written on the packaging is in old UK sizes, and it goes, the bigger the needles, the smaller the number, so it goes opposite the US sizes and the metric sizes. So I write down the metric, Japanese and US sizes at the back of the cardboard in the needle packages. And I have to mention that Japanese sizes have weird metric equivalent. So there are sizes with 0.9 millimeter and for example 4.2 or 5.9 millimeter. So I just have to either round up or round down when I write down the Japanese sizes. But I finally gotten around to doing that. And a new listener, Fifi, on Ravelry, she put a picture of a needle gauge that she has from Inox, you know, the needle maker. And it very conveniently has a lot of sizes on it. It has metric sizes, UK sizes and US sizes, but it doesn't have the Japanese sizes, which is, I think, understandable because Inox is a German manufacturer, I would guess. I would strongly encourage us to do the Knit More Girls metric revolution and use metric sizes for everything from now on, because it just is simpler that way, and the sizes correspond to the increase in sizes and not using some arbitrary rules. The second project I have off the needles is the pair of mittens for Timothy, my son. And the only thing I didn't like about knitting mittens is the many ends that I have to weave in, especially on the thumb area. And it's such a small area. I have to, if I'm actually knitting a thumb and not just a thumb hole, I have to turn it inside out, and that's not an easy fit, especially if you're knitting child size mittens as I am. And aside from that, it was a really fast knit. And I find that my ribbing, it was a 1x1 rib. My ribbing looks weird. So I was researching for my master knitter, and I find that my knit stitches are weirdly wide. And I found out from my research that it's because I didn't use the same tension when I purl. So the transition from knit to purl stitches on ribbing, it doesn't have an equal distance. And that's why the knit stitches are weirdly wide. And that brings me to my next segment, which is theme. So this is a new segment dedicating to discussions about my annual theme following the Knit More Girls. And my 2014 theme is Masterful and Mindful. And following from the ribbing research thing, I am on fire doing my Master Knitter, Master Hand Knitting Level 1 from TKGA. I find that I like doing research when I was in college, and I've always loved writing essays and researching papers. Even doing the bibliography for research papers can give me silly satisfaction. So I did my blocking research for the Master Knitter, and I've done my cover letter. I think I'm doing things backwards. A lot of knitters do the swatches first and then do the cover letter and the research paper afterwards, but I started the research and I got to writing a bit of some of the paper. But of course, when I have to write about my swatches, I have to wait until I actually knit and block the swatches. But at least I started. I've had the instructions package since November and I only started now. So again, I want to say thanks to Alicia and Natalie from the Mastering the Knits podcast for getting me re-motivated in doing the Master Knitter Level 1. In relation to the Master Knitter program, I bought a new knitting book, which is the Principles of Knitting by June Hammonds Hyatt. This book has been on my radar since the revised version came out, I think about a year or a year and a half ago. But the book was really big and I can't ship it from Amazon US because the shipping would be really, really expensive. And when it was first published, the Kindle edition was weirdly more expensive than the print edition, so I didn't buy it. But I found out that the Kindle is now $20 or $19.99. And so I bought it, even though several reviews mentioned that the Kindle edition is a bit hard to navigate, but I thought that it would be a good resource when I am researching for Master Knitter, and I've been curious to know what's in the book. It's really a huge book, and I haven't read sequentially. I just jumped from this one chapter to another, finding the topics that I needed, but I will let you know how it goes. So far, my biggest obstacle in the book is that June Hammonds Hyatt, the author, uses a different choice of words, I would say. She doesn't use the standard names or abbreviations, and she did say that, in her opinion, it is somehow vague and it doesn't translate well into every language. So she uses her own vocabulary and diction, and that can be a little bit confusing sometimes, because I'm already used to the norm and the patterns in the UK or in the US. But it does take some getting used to, but it's not hard to get used to, if you get what I mean. It's definitely not bedtime reading. It's quite heavy, but I think it's a good reference book to have in your library. So the next part of my annual theme is being mindful of my purchases and of my personal habits. And regarding the stash that I have at home, I have been destashing some of my yarns, and I have been refraining from buying yarns that I don't need. So Last episode, I mentioned about cold shipping, and this episode, I want to talk a little bit more about destashing yarns. I have a knitting group that I go to every month or so. We meet up every first week of the month, and I brought my destash collection each month, starting last month. And the secret for successful selling of destashes is to have a wingman who will have ideas and can paint pictures of what to knit with the yarn and will do the marketing of the yarn for you, in essential. One of my knitting buddy is also on a yarn diet, and since she's not buying yarn, she finds outlet in painting the pictures for my other buddies. So every month I've managed to destash thanks to her playing my sidekick. So if you are in stash down mode, or you are cold shipping, or you want to destash, having a wingman is a good idea. On the needles, I prepared two projects to bring on my trip to Japan. I just bring two little projects, and part of it is because I am now realistic. Every time I went on vacation, I bring a lot of projects with me, and I can never finish all of them. So I just bring two little projects. One is the Martina Bim Strict Mich Club pattern, Knit Your Love, which I haven't touched any at all the past 2 weeks. But the other one is a new project that I've prepared. It's the Groove Mittens by Jared Flood. This is a pattern that he published before his Brooklyn Tweed days. And it's from a classic elite yarns collection called Made in Brooklyn. It's a pair of very pretty twisted stitch, I think twisted stitch motif on the back of the hand, and on the palm is, I think, twisted rib from the look of it. I took out a yarn that I wanted to destash to knit night, and while I didn't manage to sell it, the next day is I was searching for patterns for sport or worsted yarn for mittens. I rediscovered Grove, which has been in my library for more than 3 years, I would say, because I had the pattern before I got pregnant with Timothy. So yeah, it must have been more than 3 years, and I haven't knit any single pattern from it. And that's the idea behind the library along, which is, if you are like me and you have a lot of patterns that you either bought or queued up in your Ravelry library, but you haven't gotten around to knitting it, it's a good time to start rediscovering what you have in your library before you get attracted to something else and decided to buy the pattern. So yeah, I rediscovered Grove, and I immediately thought of the yarn that I took to my destash night, which is a skein of BFL yarn in worsted weight, and the indie dyer is Three Irish Girls. The yarn is called Caris BFL, and a very pretty golden brown going to ochre color. I was going to maybe knit a Fallberry Mitts by Anne Hansen, which is a pattern that I've knit twice before, and I find that it fits really well. But I really want to try something new, so finding this pattern and yarn combination was really very serendipitous for me. It's a perfect combination, and I'm hoping that I can finish it before the 14th, which is when we will be going to the colder part of Japan, to the Japanese Alps in Tateyama Kurobe. So yeah, hopefully, crossing my fingers, everything goes smoothly, and I've already prepared the stitch markers, the tapestry needle, scrap yarn needed for the thumb part, and all in my project bag. Oh, speaking about project bag, this is a new project bag that I got from Audrey, All For You, that I've interviewed before in the podcast, and I just really love this bag. I have to share with you. It's a box bag, and the fabric is cotton. It's the motif that I really like. It's Matryoshka, which is the Russian dolls. And what made it really unique is that it's Christmas themed, and there's a Mary Matryoshka, there's a Joseph Matryoshka, There's baby Jesus Matryoshka and the three wise kings. There's also an angel with a wreath, Matryoshka, a donkey and a sheep. The sheep and the donkey is not in Matryoshka form, of course. And there's also the shepherd. So it's very fun to have. And the inside fabric is light cream with snowflakes on it. And the zipper has a charm, a very pretty Christmas color charm. So I love everything that Audrey makes. And this is the first time I'm taking this bag out to Japan. Get your geek on! So I was listening to the new episode of A Playful Day podcast titled The Answer. And I first heard about a thing called the bullet journal. I've always loved writing diaries when I was younger. I still do like writing diaries, but I don't write as much as I did. I used to write a daily diary. And I still don't get what's the difference between a diary and a journal, because most US people I know now use the word diary and journal interchangeably, and I don't know if there's a subtle difference or it's totally different. So if you know the difference, do enlighten me about it. And I also like cute stationeries, like cute notebooks, cute pens, cute highlighters, even cute pencil boxes. And I have a collection of them. So finding out about the bullet journal is really, really came at an excellent time for me. Right now I have a lot of notes. I always carry a mini notebook in my purse. And I have a separate notebook at home to write down my devotional thoughts or my show notes or other random thoughts that I have that is too long to write in my mini notebook. But my mini notebook also have some thoughts that I write when I was on the road, not in access to my bigger show notes, bigger notebook. So A Playful Day has really inspired me to revisit my notes and transfer what I had there. If you're not familiar with the bullet journal, it's a system of organizing your day and your notes into one coherent space. And the idea is to have a yearly journal that you can revisit. And it keeps yourself not just organized, but you can see what happened in the past easily. It's like making an index library card of bulleted lists and reminders and to-dos and notes that you have throughout the year. So back to the mini notebook that I have in my purse. It's not very durable, so transferring the notes sounded like a good idea. After marking the pages with post-its, I find that although I do have a few reminder lists, a lot of what takes space in my notes are written thoughts from the books I read, a Bible or devotional notes, as I said, or from seminars that I attended. I also use Evernote app and the Notes app on iOS when I have my iPad or my iPhone with me, whichever is more practical at that time. So I was thinking about how to link Evernote and Notes and the bullet journal together. I am going to write most of my notes on my notebook, but when reading on Kindle, I would write notes on my tablet on Evernote app. And at the end of the month or the year, I will transfer and combine all of them together of both the Evernote app and the print out of the notes into a ring binder and print it out. How do you organize your notes? Do you keep a journal or a diary or whatever you call it? Do you use the reminder app on your smartphone? Do you use a lot of post-its or bullet task points for your day to organize your day? If you haven't heard about bullet journal, you should give it a look. It's at the bulletjournal.com and it's a very simple, you can do it easily anywhere. Fortunately, I have a moleskin type journal at home that I can immediately use. So I started doing it early this week. I hope that it would also help me be more organized in my daily scheduling. I have this wipe-off calendar next to my bedroom door, which I put up for the purpose of having a family schedule visible for everybody. But I've kind of neglected it a bit. My last month there was February. I haven't wiped it up for April yet. So I'm planning to be more dedicated to it, to have a family calendar as well as the bullet journal for my personal use. And I had another thought of maybe putting a reminder on my phone in the morning to remind me to do my bullet journal for the day. But then I had to laugh at myself. Reminding myself to make a list of reminders. Really? Am I really that forgetful? So, no, I scrapped that idea. I'm not going to put a reminder to make a reminder list. And I'm liking my bullet journal so far. I also need to get better in doing things in smaller chunks, especially regarding where I put my stuff. I tend to have a cluttered house because I don't immediately put something that I've recently used away where it belongs, and then it piles up. If I see pictures on Instagram or in blogs where people have houses that are super neat and tidy, I'm part jealous and part not understanding how that they can do it. So that's another thing that I really have to get started on doing. Another geeky thing that I want to share with you today is the FMS photo a day on Instagram or on Facebook. I bet a lot of you have heard of it. It's FMS stands for Fat Mom Slim, and it's the handle, it's the online handle for Chantel Ellum from Australia. The FMS photo a day started in January 2012, and until now, over 20 million photos have been shared both on Facebook and on Instagram. It's basically a photo sharing system with the tag FMS photo a day, and Chantel or Fat Mom Slim would share a theme for the month. For each day, she would have a short 1 to 3 words theme that people can think about and take creative pictures of their day. It's a good idea to explore other people's interpretation on things, and I find that it really opens my eyes to new sights or experiences that I would otherwise ignore. I would look at something and think I should really snap a picture of that for the daily FMS challenge. And it's a really fun way to use Instagram. It's a good way to start your day. It opens your eyes for fresh creative ideas, and I think morning devotionals, for those of you who do that, it should be like that for your heart. It sets our mind, our mindset for the day ahead. So if you start the day right, your day will go better. So do check those two things out. One is the bullet journal and the other is FMS photo day. Recalculating route. So I will be away from my home until the 24th of April for a trip to Japan. We will be visiting quite a few places there, so wait for the travel report on future episodes. I have a few travel tips, to be more exact, for traveling to Japan. So if you are traveling on high season, where it would be hard to find hotels, if you are booking your hotels by yourself, sometimes a lot of people would use Agoda.com or Booking.com or Hotels.com. But I find that at this time, there's another site that's local to Japan. It's called Japanican.com, and that's spelled Japanican.com, like Japan I can. And a lot of time when other online sites show that a certain hotel is unavailable, that Japan I can site have vacancies. And maybe because they have extra slots because the company is based in Japan, I'm not sure, but I know that in this particular time, we got 3 hotels that were not available in the other sites, and the Japan ICANN can still have actually not just one vacancy, but a few other rooms available. So do check it out. And another tip is for packing when traveling for more than a week. I check the hotels in advance, and sometimes they have coin laundry. I'm not willing to pay ridiculous amount of money for the hotel laundry or dry cleaning. So having a coin laundry facility available in the hotel is really big help. So I don't have to pack a lot of clothes, and I can just bring maybe half and wash them there in the hotels to bring. Especially when traveling with a little kid, with children, since I tend to bring a lot of clothes for Timothy, but for this trip, I'm not bringing as many as I would regularly because I know there would be a coin laundry in at least one of the hotels in Japan. So that's my little tip for traveling to Japan. I hope it's useful for you. Tadaima! So I would like to say thank you to everybody who wished me happy anniversary, happy podiversary. Thank you everyone, and thank you for all listeners who checked out the podcast and staying with me for the past year. I would like to announce 3 winners for the Library Along first quarter, which ended officially on the 31st of March. And I picked 3 winners. There is a total of 36 projects tagged LAL and the group in the FO thread, and I picked 3 winners. The first one is Michelle, Perfect Circle on Ravelry. You win a Ravelry pattern of your choice, and the winning project is Watershed, and both pattern and yarn was stashed from December 2013. I would really like to see it blocked and modeled, Michelle. It looks very nice, and I like the yarn color. The second winner is Linda, L-M-E call. And you, Linda, you win a button set from Just Fingerprint Etsy shop. The project is Shilling Hat from, this is what she said, Super Old Stash Yarn. And the pattern has been in her queue since January 2013. The third winner is Christine, Crazy Knitting Fool. You win any item from Findish Paper Thingy on Etsy. And the project that wins is the Dolores Park Cowl, or she calls it Cuddly Cowl. The pattern is from the 617 blog by Parika Mehta, which is unfortunately not active anymore. I have been following that blog for quite some time. I really like her photographs. So it's a real shame that it's not active anymore. The yarn has been in her stash since 2008, and the pattern has been in her library since 2012. So this is the idea behind the Library Along, and if you want to join, I am opening up the chat thread and the FO thread for quarter 2, which will run from April until June in the Ravelry group. So do check it out and join in on the chat. So for the 3 winners, Michelle, Linda, and Christine, please PM me with your pattern choices and button and item choices. But I have to apologize that I won't be able to reward the prizes until I return, which will be in about 2 weeks. So sorry if you have to wait. And congrats on winning the prizes. I hope you will join along on the second quarter too. All of you who participated are very prolific. There are 3 people tied with 4 projects, and they are Christine, Crazy Knitting Fool, Michelle, Perfect Circle, and Katie, KKS Pack. From the FO thread, what I got is that I get more projects added to my favorites. For example, Kate Pricey, who knit the pattern Astrid by Huki Locatelli. It's a very pretty shawl with not ruffles, but like bobbles hanging onto the sides, and it's done in 2 different colored yarn. It's really pretty, Kate. Moppy Amanda knit a whimsy vest, which is styled with a narrow belt, and I think that belt really gives it a really polished look. I have never knit a vest before, but this pattern just went straight to my favorite. Rose Bob knit a very pretty Cloud Illusions by Boonitz, which is a lace shawl in a very pretty gradient purple BFL yarn by Gradients Yarns. That's a really good idea to use the gradient yarn for this pattern. I also really like our moderator, Stacy78's color craving shawl, which I'm dubbing watermelon shawl because of the colors that she picked. I always smile when I see the picture of that shawl. And that's just to name a few. There are a lot of other projects that really spoke to me and that I put on my favorites list. So if you haven't checked out the thread for the LAL 2014 FO Quarter 1, do check it out and maybe you'll find inspiration for your next projects. So I think that's it for today. Thank you for listening. We've got the power back on, fortunately, so now I have my closing comments for you. That's it for today. You can send any comments, feedback, and suggestions to me, arlin@thelostgeek.com. That's arlin@thelostgeek.com. Show notes can be found on the blog at thelostgeek.com. You can also like the podcast on Facebook and especially join the group on Revelry. You can find it on the groups tab as The Lost Geek Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitter, where I'm known as Lost_Geek, and on Instagram as The Lost Geek. To subscribe to the podcast, you can subscribe on iTunes or enter the RSS feed to your favorite podcatcher. Personally, I use Downcast by entering the address thelostgeek.libsyn.com/RSS. The closing song is Adrina Thorpe and it's Coming Home, which is available from musicalley.com. So thank you for listening. Until next time, don't get too lost. Bye. Morning light upon my pillowcase. Well, hello, here comes a day. Should I rise up from these sheets of lace? Let the sun upon my face. Far too long I slept in solitude, with these walls as cold as ice. If I awake, will it be worth it all to feel the sun upon my face? I'm coming home to where you are, to the arms that held me long. I'm coming home, I've run too long. Unlock the door, turn the key, I've been waiting to see you so long. Come back to me. Come back to me. Just to find that nothing's changed.
hiding from the eyes that love me still, with the sun upon my face. I'm coming.